Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. And to do that, we have a very special guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Packers defensive lineman Josh Boyd joining us. Josh, how's the offensive, how's the offseason been treating you?
I've actually been good. You know, I've been training pretty hard. I come in with a lot of stuff for me to share, so I'm trying to live up to that.
Now, Josh, as I understand, you're down in Mississippi during the off season here. Are you working out? What are you doing?
Work out with the team here. Just get to go in, help out with the guys, and also just, you know, even I still get help from the coaches and things, so it's a good experience for me, and it's also a way to get back to the team.
Now, Josh, how do you react to what's going on in free agency? I feel like you're the only defensive lineman left on the roster. I mean, I'm kidding, but, you know, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly, C.J. Wilson, all these guys are free agents. Are you ready for the potential of a very different defensive line next season?
I mean, you know, that's going to be a real crazy thing. You know, my first time seeing something like this with free agency, but I'm ready for the role they're going to give me. You know, I'm going to try to, I've been training hard, so I'm going to step in there and whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it.
Now, if some of these guys leave, are you ready for a bigger role? I was at the NFL Combine standing right next to Coach McCarthy, and he said you were one of those players he expected to take a big jump in your second season. Are you ready for playing a whole lot more snaps in 2013?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I'm always ready for more plays. You know, I didn't play as much the first beginning of the season, but I started playing a little toward the end, and I think I did a pretty good job. So I just waited for them to give me another opportunity so I can show what I can do.
I think not just you, but the other guys we know are going to be around. We're talking about Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones, Jarrell Worthy. You guys are all going to be playing bigger roles, I would imagine. How are you guys going to fit together? Who's the run stuffer? Who's the pass rusher?
You know, I think we all have different attributes and stuff. I mean, I feel like I can do a little bit of both, and I know Jarrell, and he's a pretty good run stopper himself, and I even think Dayton can be a run stopper, and you know he's already a pass rusher. So I think we all have a little bit of each trait between all of us. So I think we'll be okay.
We're talking to Packers defensive lineman Josh Boyd here on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Josh, it's inevitable the Packers will bring in competition, whether it's in free agency or the NFL draft. How do you react to that? I mean, guys are going to be brought in who, on one hand, are going to be your teammates and comrades out on the field, but on the other hand, they're also going to be providing competition for playing time.
You know, I mean, competition is always healthy. You go through competition every time you touch the field, so it's a healthy thing, but at the same time, you know, you got to go out there and perform and show those guys what you can do to stay there, so that's what I intend to do.
What's the word on you playing nose tackle, Josh? I look at Raji and Pickett as free agents, and I'm like, well, somebody's got to play the nose. Have the coaches talked to you about doing more of that next season?
You know, I really haven't heard anything about it. I played a little bit of everything while I was there. So, I mean, I wasn't in it, and I played a little bit of nose. So, I mean, I don't know, but I'm expecting to play anything. But I know I can play it, and if they put me there, I'm play it, you know.
Very good. Being a Mississippi State guy, do you spend much time with Derek Sherrod in the off season?
Not really. He kind of does his own thing, you know. I talk to him a little bit, but, you know, I'm mostly trying my older teammate from Fletcher Cox. We, you know, we kind of buzzed together when we was here, even though he was on the other team. But really trying too much to flex. I mean, Derek.
So, a final question here, Josh, before I let you go. Another Bulldogs question. You know, tell me about your former teammate, Gabe Jackson. He's going to be in the NFL draft coming up here. You would go against him in practice. What's the story on him? How good is he going to be in the NFL?
I feel like he's going to be a great player. You know, he's always been a very strong guy. He has very good hands and feet, so I feel like he's gonna be a good attribute to some team whoever picks him.
Are you gonna put in a good word for him with the Packers?
You know, if they ask me, I'll try to because he's a good player.
Sounds good. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. We wish you the best of luck this upcoming season. Enjoy what's left of the off season, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you during OTAs and minicamp. All right, take care. Packers defensive lineman Josh Boyd joining us on the show this morning. Great to talk to him. Great to have a player on the show. We got to do that more often. I say that all the time, and we do have players from time to time here on the show. Certainly not as much as I would like, but it's great to get their perspective, especially, you know, kind of coming into the season. Everything's kind of new. Everybody can dream of a Super Bowl at this point, so it's kind of exciting to talk to Josh and get his perspective on things and how the season might be shaping up. But here we are on a Friday morning. We're in the midst of the beginning stages of free agency. Well, maybe you could argue that stage one is already over with, huh? All the big names have kind of signed here already. The big dollar contracts might be over. Not to say that there couldn't be a big contract or two signing down the road, but for the most part, we're now in the second wave. You know, there's probably not too many of those huge blockbuster deals anymore. Those guys are gone. Those guys have already signed. So we're kind of looking at some of the other moves the team might be making. And you know, since our last show, some of the moves the Packers made the past few days, they've re-signed a few of their own players. They've re-signed outside linebacker Mike Neal and tight end Andrew Corliss. From what I understand, both of them to two-year deals. So we'll kind of take some time here, talk about those, talk about how those signings impact the team. And let's start with Mike Neal. I think that news kind of came down the pike on Wednesday after our morning Railbird Central show. But Mike Neal, two-year deal, staying in Green Bay. From what I hear, I think he gets, $4 million a season from the Packers, roughly. He's a guy last year who was one of the healthy outside linebackers. Of course, both Clay Matthews and Nick Perry kind of dealt with injuries, so Mike Neal played a very large role and ended up leading the team in quarterback hurries. He's a guy who got after the quarterback quite a bit. This is my favorite stat. If you follow me on Twitter, I cited this the other day. Pro Football Focus has the Packers, has Mike Neal is leading the Packers in quarterback hurries last season with 37, and that's 11 more than the next closest player, which was Mike Daniels, who had, you know, what was it, 26 then, 11 less than 37. But who would have expected that from Mike Neal coming to the season? Here's a guy who has rarely been healthy over the course of his career, and for the first time ever, Mike Neal plays in all 16 games last season. He was the healthy one. So that was definitely a good sign, a step in the right direction. And he showed, you know, when he's out there a bunch, he can be an effective guy. Now, I think the argument can be made. Mike Neal maybe had a lot of quarterback hurries, but maybe not quite enough quarterback sacks. And I can understand that complaint. I can understand that line of thinking. He's the guy who maybe doesn't quite get there, doesn't quite get home often enough. Now, but you certainly can argue that he also made a step in the right direction, and maybe it's just a matter of time before that comes. Now, could we also be seeing, as we've heard reports during the offseason, this elephant role on the Packers defensive line? Might Mike Neal fit at that kind of position? We've heard, you know, of course, Nick Perry's kind of been the guy pegged there. But, I mean, how much will the Packers really kind of use this position where, you know, you're talking about a guy who can both go in a three-point stance and stand up? Maybe Mike Neal would be better served being in a three-point stance more often. He's kind of a you know, of course, we know the transition he made to outside linebacker this past season, dropped a lot of weight. We're talking like 25 pounds or so. And you know, it's admirable, the transition he made. But, you know, still not that natural outside linebacker. I still think he had problems playing in space, you know, when he's asked to drop in coverage, when he's asked to, you know, string out a play to the sideline against a running back. Not good in space. But again, maybe, you know, it's kind of result of those injuries, too. You know, had had Clay Matthews, had Nick Perry been healthy, maybe, you know, Mike Neal didn't need to play that much, and he wouldn't be out on the field in those type of situations. So, you know, there's that aspect to it as well. You know, if he's on the field for less plays, which is, you know, he's more fresh, he's not sucking wind out there, you know, he can be more effective. They can put him in a three-point stance where he just pins his ear back and gets after the quarterback. That would be a really good role for Mike Neal, and I think one they envision him playing. They just need better health from everybody on the team to turn that into reality. I think you're going to see kind of a very good rotation among him, Nick Perry, Clay Matthews. I don't think Clay Matthews is going to come off the field too much if he's healthy, but, you know, the occasional breather here and there. And the Packers will find roles for these guys. They just got to stay healthy. Man, if the Packers defense, people keep, I get on Twitter, I get this five times a day, you know, the people, you know, mad that the Packers are only re-signing their own players. And they're like, how is this defense going to improve by the Packers really only re-signing their own? And my answer to that is it's going to come from better health. It's going to come from hopefully a good rookie draft class. And on top of that, guys like Josh Boyd improving, young players improving from year to year. And not just Josh Boyd. I mean, we're talking about anybody pretty much 3 years in the NFL and younger. All these guys got to take steps. You know, we're talking about Jarrell Worthy. We're talking about the guys last year, like Micah Hyde, like Dayton Jones. If all those guys take jumps, this defense can improve. But they've got to take the jump. I mean, it's the onus is on them. The Packers, you know, I wondered if they might go after an outside linebacker type in free agency. I kind of, you know, I like the thought of DeMarcus Ware being in the green and gold, of Lamar Woodley. Well, these guys ended up signing fairly large contracts with other teams. And again, I see Packers fans on Twitter, on social media, kind of bemoaning the fact that the Packers won't go after these guys. Well, you know, what are you going to do if Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, and then they just sign Mike Neal? I mean, what are you going to do if all three of those guys are healthy and then you go and add Lamar Woodley? Well, two of those guys are always going to be sitting on the sideline. What, you know, it's kind of a waste of money if everybody's healthy. And yeah, I understand, like, you know, you kind of get used to the fact almost that this team has been snake bitten by injuries and they're not going to stay healthy. But I mean, you can't do that at every position. You can't have your fourth stringer making $6 million a year. I mean, you're asking for hell down the road if you're doing that. But Mike Neal, the Packers, you know, look at it this way. They didn't get worse either by bringing him back. You know, had they lost Mike Neal, the defense gets worse. They bring him back. At least it's not getting worse. You're getting better in that regard. So there's lots to look forward to there. Now on the other position, talking about Andrew Corliss for a while. He's coming back on a 2-year deal. I think we're $3 million. So we're only talking like $1.5 million a season here for Andrew Corliss. Very modest contract. And I like this signing quite a bit because it's very palatable for the Packers, very salary cap friendly. And what I like about Andrew Corliss is that he's very young yet. He really came out for the NFL at a young age. He hit unrestricted free agency at 25 years old. Andrew Corliss is only 25 years old. He can play out this 2-year contract and still hit unrestricted free agency again at 27 years old and still make a decent penny then. He's going to be very motivated to play well over these 2 years. So that is a good thing. I love this signing right here. I've said before, I hope it doesn't preclude any interest in Owen Daniels. We'll get more to that in a minute. But Andrew Corliss, you know, of course, you talk about him. We got to talk about the injury suffered late 2011 in December, so late in the season. You know, he tore up his knee something horrible, several torn ligaments. I don't remember them all, but it wasn't like it was just an ACL. It was like the MCL. There might have been the IT band, torn there as well. It was terrible. It really set him back. And of course, he doesn't play at all the 2012 season. You get anybody tearing an ACL or anything like that, unless you're Adrian Peterson, don't expect anything the next season either, or at least not very much. You can come back from an ACL, but it takes time. And you saw Andrew Corliss this past year, 2013. I think he started off the season slow, but progressively got better and better as the season went on. And so I think that's what you're seeing is Andrew Corliss is finally getting healthy, getting better all the time. And so I think there's some growth potential there, that there's still room for him to get better or maybe at least get back to what he was before injury, which, you know, he was one of the best blockers at the tight end position on the team. And I think you saw a regression in that effect, and maybe it's because he can't anchor quite as well with that knee after the terrible injury that happened, and I think he lost a little bit of speed as well. But you saw Andrew Corliss. It was like back to back weeks this past season, 2013 in December, Atlanta and Dallas at Dallas. The Packers won both those games, and Andrew Corliss, you remember this, it was kind of a unique stat line, the 666 stat line. We don't know if he made a deal with the devil or not, but he had 6 catches for 66 yards both games, and a touchdown in both games, too. As you recall, I mean, the Packers, these were must-win games for the Packers here. If they wanted to win the division, if they wanted to make the playoffs, they beat Atlanta, they beat Dallas on the road in the big comeback fashion. Andrew Corliss plays a big role in both those games. And so that really kind of showed to me, okay, he's contributing, he's coming back from injury, all these things are pointing in the right direction. So there's that to look forward to. But now, you know, kind of looking at the tight end position in general, kind of a position in flux in Green Bay. We know JerMichael Finley is a free agent. Don't know what's going to happen to him. We know he visited the Seattle Seahawks. They didn't sign him to a deal. There's questions upon questions about his injury and is he going to be cleared. We don't know the results of the medical examination with the Seahawks. Obviously they're not going to say, and with Finley, his camp isn't going to say, especially if he's not been cleared. And I don't know, maybe the Seahawks are just going to take their time with it. Maybe they feel like, oh, let's look at this and let's have a discussion about it before we, pursue signing him. But, I mean, that on top, I know it, even if a team is kind of interested in signing him, there's the financial aspect as well. So I don't know what's going to happen with your Michael Finley. Is he or is he not going to be back? I would tend to think he's not going to come back with the Packers. I tend to think they'll hesitate in clearing him, although we know Mike McCarthy kind of expressed optimism that Finley would be back, but I have my doubts. So what did the Packers do from here? We know they had free agent tight end Owen Daniels in for a visit, and he left. And that's never necessarily a good sign when a player leaves from a visit. Now, I mean, I'm sure they're leaving the door open here potentially to sign him, but I don't know if Daniels is looking for more money. Maybe the Packers didn't like how the visit went. Maybe they don't feel he fits in their system. I don't know. I want the Packers to go after Owen Daniels, assuming they can do so at a reasonable dollar amount. I just think it especially if they let, you know, JerMichael Finley go. They bring in Owen Daniels, and Owen Daniels is very much in the mold of JerMichael Finley as the tight end you can split out and be the receiving threat. Andrew Corliss is more so your inline tight end. So I don't think the signing of Andrew Corliss precludes anything with Owen Daniels because they're two different types of players. Not to say Owen Daniels can't ever be in line, but he's more the receiving type. And I just think, you know, him being, you know, that street free agent, because Owen Daniels was cut by the Houston Texans, he doesn't count in that free agent compensatory draft pick equation. You know, the Packers, you know, they're going to be looking to get draft choices next year instead of, you know, having none in the comp pick equation. I just think it makes sense as long as they can come to some sort of common ground there on a contract. I would love to see Owen Daniels in Green Bay. Forget this injury stuff. It doesn't bother me with Owen Daniels. He had a torn ACL 5 years ago. 5 years ago that he has come back from and played at a high level. You know, what was it? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he had 62 catches. That would be a franchise record in Green Bay. I'm not worried about the ACL because he's come back from and played at a high level. This past season, he had a broken fibula. Well, it's a broken bone. He's not an injury-prone type of player. It's a freak accident. I'm not worried about the injuries with Owen Daniels. Sign him, Packers. If you can sign him, this one's frustrating me more than anything else. You know, I understood it was a long shot to get Jairus Byrd, DeMarcus Ware, Lamar Woodley, TJ Ward, you name it. I understand those were all long shots to begin with. I like Owen Daniels. If he would be the guy they'd get, I'm all about it. Go get him. Go after him. So there you go. There's the Packers' big free agent signings. They tendered Jamari Lattimore. I think we talked about that already. That happened on Tuesday, along with Sam Shields before that. So the Packers have only re-signed their own in free agency. They have not gone out and signed a player from another team yet. Is that coming? Apparently, news broke right before we came on air here at Railbird Central. They were setting up a visit with free agent defensive lineman Vance Walker, but apparently he's signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. So apparently that's out the window. It literally just broke minutes before we came on air, so I have yet to really find out a whole lot about that, but doesn't look like the Packers will be signing Vance Walker, former Oakland Raider, now appears to be with the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, kind of former Packers personnel man joined John Dorsey signing him, so got a little bit of competition there from one of the Packers' own former employees. But anyway, What's next in free agency? Are we going to see the Packers sign anyone? The only really guy that they apparently are interested in to any extent is Owen Daniels. That's the only iron in the fire right now that I know. If you're looking at help at the safety position, last I heard, Chris Clemens, the safety from the Miami Dolphins, still hasn't signed anywhere. In fact, you can kind of get a little bit confused because there's two Chris Clemens in the NFL. Apparently, the defensive lineman from the Seattle Seahawks signed with the Jaguars yesterday. Not the same guy as the safety. You really got to be careful there. So I wonder if he's somebody the Packers might have interest in. Of course they have a need at the safety position, so I kind of just wondering there. But anyway, I see on the Luke Mills is telling me on our live blog that Adam Kaplan just said Walker has not signed anywhere. I have yet to investigate this very much, but that's the word I'm getting right now. Interesting. We'll find out what's going on there in Kansas City and see if the Vance Walker could still be in play for the Green Bay Packers. So who knows? Who knows? I'll look into it as soon as this show is done. But the Bears, I guess we'll talk about the one player who has exited the Packers officially as well. MD Jennings signing with the Chicago Bears. The Packers choosing not to offer a tender to their restricted free agent, thus making MD Jennings free to sign anywhere he chooses and takes the Bears up on their offer. And all I can say is, thanks, Chicago Bears. I'm glad MD Jennings isn't around anymore. Great guy. He was always, people ask, why is MD Jennings playing? He always knew what to do. He didn't have many coverage breakdowns. He was always in a good position. But man, the guy wasn't even 190 pounds. you just can't be that small as a safety in the NFL. And he just didn't have what it takes. His athletic ability just wasn't up to par to other NFL, safety standards. Good guy, MD Jennings. I wish you the best, except the two times a year you play the Green Bay Packers now as a member of the Bears. But, I'm from a competitive standpoint, I'm heartily disappointed. I'm glad there will be a new starter at safety this season. We still don't know who that player will be. There'll be Morgan Burnett and somebody else lining up next to him. Could it be a guy like Chris Clemens that they go after in free agency? More than likely, they're going to add somebody during the draft. But it's a matter, if the Packers don't take a safety in the first round, well, you're kind of, risking, is this player going to be ready to play and make an impact in his rookie season? I mean, anytime you're talking about players outside the first round, and even first rounders are no guarantees, it's pretty tough for these guys to contribute right away. So, hopefully they get a talented player, but we'll see how this all shakes out. And of course, we're not, still leaving the door open to potentially Micah Hyde playing there as well. We'll see how it all shakes out. But it's been an interesting start to free agency. Of course, the Packers have not been active, at least in terms of, going after guys from other teams. But we're not shutting the door on that either yet. We know they've had guys in for visits. We know they're interested in players. They're just not going to pay the big bucks. They're going to pay the big bucks to their own. They're going to pay the big bucks to the guys like Sam Shields, who have been in the system, have been around Green Bay, and know what it's like to play in Green Bay and be part of this environment in Titletown. So that's who they give the big bucks to. And Mike Neal making a pretty decent contract as well. $4 million a season, roughly. I know there's some, bonuses involved there that he has to earn. But thanks so much, folks, for joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Packers defensive lineman Josh Boyd for joining us on the show. It was great to talk to him, talk about the Packers defensive line, how it may have a new look to it this upcoming season here in 2014. So all those things are interesting to hear. But we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs. We're working on the bugs, folks. I realize some of you can't even scroll the screen right now when the homepage is taken over. We're working on it. Hopefully within a week or less, we'll have that fixed. But thanks to Corey Benke for his behind-the-scenes work on Cheesehead TV 3.0. We'll see you, folks. Have a good weekend. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.
Job. And holds you.